workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. He's a fighter working for the building trades in Central Ohio. I'm talking about Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Website, real simple. It's a little long, though. ColumbusConstructionTrades.org. ColumbusConstructionTrades.org. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the broadcast.
Good afternoon, Flash. How's everybody doing up there in Cleveland today?
Good, good. It's hard to believe it's the 1st of April already. How about that?
Opening day is Monday. I cannot wait. Just a few short days. And speaking of opening day, it sure is good to be Nick Swisher. And some people might say, well, what do you mean? Isn't he unemployed? Well, yes, he's unemployed, but he's still getting paid. He's going to make $15 million this year. The Indians are going to pay 10 of it.
Isn't that crazy?
The Braves, the other five. So
you know, the Cavaliers are still paying Mike Brown.
Oh, boy. I still think I'd rather be Nick Swisher. I've seen his wife, and I think I'd rather be Nick Swisher.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's not good.
Yeah, you know what? They look good in preseason, too. I don't want, you know how it is. I don't want to jinx anything right now, but I like what I see. Lindor, I'm expecting a big year from him. Hopefully Brantley is going to be up to speed here, but it's exciting. It's, you know, I just love this time of year because, you know, we're in spring. The weather, I know there's some crappy days now and then, and there's some snow in the forecast, but you know it's just going to get better from this point on. That's a nice thing. And it's also construction season. I mean, we're talking about jobs. That's what this is all about. Before we get into that, Big ruling this week from the Supreme Court. We were bracing for a tie, and then Scalia passes away suddenly. And we could talk about the fight over the Supreme Court justice, the vacancy. But first and foremost, let's take a look at this Fredericks case, which could have been devastating to organized labor. And I know you've been following it, right?
Yeah, and we've talked about it on your show, the Fredericks case that was in front of the Supreme Court. And by everything we've been reading the last 6 to 8 months, it obviously wasn't looking good. With a conservative Supreme Court having an advantage 5-4, and, you know, Antonin Scalia, who's now deceased, possibly casting that deciding vote that now we'll never know. You know, we were bracing for a very, very bad decision that was going to overturn 40 years of legislation. I mean, they've been fighting this since 1977. And that's why in the lower court ruling in California, they didn't appeal and they took it straight to the Supreme Court because they knew they had a better chance in the Supreme Court. And they were hoping that by them overturning this lower case lawsuit, that it would overturn the other 40 years of legislation as well and set precedents, which would make right to work pretty much nationwide, which would not be good for unions and would not be good for, you know, what we call the freeloaders, the people that belong to unions, receive the benefits of unions and a collective bargaining agreement and the benefits and the fair wages that go with it, but then choose not to pay their fair share dues. So, and that's what this Friedrich, she's a an elementary school teacher, I think in the Savannah School District, which is around San Francisco, that area. That's what she was trying to do. She didn't want to pay union dues while still working under a union contract. She took it to the lower court in California, and then a large legal team, I can't remember the name of them, but they picked up the case and helped her take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And they, you know, on March 30th, it was nice. I woke up and there was articles all over the place and retweets and Facebook and posts and everything. And even though it was a tie, and, you know, you and I are big sports guys and we know ties aren't wins, this was definitely a win for us.
Oh, yeah.
So
my fear, though, is what are they going to do next? You know, because of what happened this week, that somebody's going to introduce something, and eventually they're going to fill that vacancy on the Supreme Court.
I agree with you, and I tell you, and I tell my friends this, and I know things can change in a lot in 5 or 6 months, but if I was a senator, a Republican senator, I think I would hear this Merrick Garland, and I think that I would, you know, work on confirming him because I think he's a pretty moderate choice from President Obama. Mm-hmm. And if Hillary gets elected president, you know, who knows what her choice or her next two or maybe even three choices would be. But I don't think they're looking at it like this. I think that their biggest thing is just delay, 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 put off, put off, put off. But I'm also hearing now that there's 25% of the Republicans in the Senate that have went against Mitch McConnell. They're agreeing to meet with Merrick Garland, and they're even pushing for a vote. And while I still don't think that he'll be confirmed, I bet you after Election Day, especially if Hillary's victorious, they'll probably do a lame duck confirmation, and Merrick Garland will probably be confirmed before the next president takes office.
Boy, that'll be interesting, that scenario right now.
It'll be very interesting scenario, so it'll make for some good television. Of course, not as good as the television that's going to be in July in Cleveland when there's a floor fight over the contested nomination. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago I told, again, some friends of mine, I said, boy, you better hope and pray Donald gets to 1237. Now everything I'm reading on blogs and posts and stuff, and I know things can change day to day and as the wind goes, but it seems like Ted Cruz has assembled quite a legal team and quite a political team, and they're going across the country and telling these delegates that they do not have to vote for Donald Trump, that they can vote for him on the floor.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a nice contested floor fight in Cleveland. It'll be good TV, be good ratings for the city of Cleveland.
Oh, I know, because 9 times out of 10, probably almost 99% of the time, by the time they get to the convention, it's a done deal. I mean,
it's all speeches and
around, though.
No, not this time around. This will be very interesting. This will be very interesting. So it'll be good for the city. It'll be good for the city. It'll be very good television. Now, it'll be interesting to watch.
Now, Dorsey, in your capacity, are you going to be up here for that?
I'm going to try to get up there, absolutely. I've got some friends, obviously, that are Republicans that will be there for the convention. I'd like to get up there and meet with them, spend some time with them. You know, we talked last year on your show. I went up there for the first debate that was there in Cleveland at the arena, and you know, that was very good. And I'm going to try to get up for that. Any time I can, I try to get a chance to get up to Cleveland. So, yeah, I'll try to come up for that.
Well, it's important.
What about, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's important that we've talked about this on the show. You got to work with the Democrats. You got to work with the Republicans. And obviously the Republicans have been in power, especially in Congress. And I was talking to you off the air about this new caucus, Building Trades Caucus, where they actually united a Democrat, guys by the name of Donald Norcross and David McKinley. And you're telling me that Norcross spoke before the Building Trades Conference?
Yes, he's spoken at the Building Trades Legislative Conference. He's got a labor background. I don't know him very well, but I know he's got a labor background. He's a big pro-labor congressman from New Jersey. So I think that what he's seeing, and he probably teamed up with this other Republican, is the same thing that I'm seeing here in Columbus and Central Ohio. Republican Mike Duffy, who's a great friend of labor and a good friend of mine out of Worthington, just north of Columbus, and a young lady that we've talked about extensively on your show, Kristen Boggs, a Democrat in the State House out of Columbus, they've teamed up together and co-sponsored a bill where they're trying to provide easier access into the high schools, vocational schools, and middle schools for the building trades programs to recruit some of these kids into these programs to give them an opportunity and a path to the middle class. And it looks like from what I'm reading, what you've told me about Donald Norcross and David McKinley, that's what they're trying to do with building this building trades caucus. Because I think they see that the need for skilled labor is there across the country, and the need is going to get better as the economy gets better. And as the baby boomers start to retire, we're getting shrunken on both ends, and we need to increase our membership. And what better way to do it than provide some of these young adults and these kids coming out of high school the opportunity to get into an apprenticeship program, earn while they learn, build college credit in our building trades programs, and make a fair wage and good benefits while they're learning a skilled trade, something that can never be taken away from them that they'll have for the rest of their life, and they'll have the opportunity to go and make a good living.
You know, what you just said mirrors almost exactly what they said in the news article. Let me read it here. It says, as always, an educated and skilled workforce is a critical component to our success. For us as lawmakers, that means thinking outside the traditional classroom setting to promote and support ideas like skilled apprenticeships, which are the avenues to the very jobs that are the engine to our nation's success. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That is. And, you know, like I said, we offer these young people a free education. The only thing they have to invest is their time and their energy. And then they're, you know, after their apprenticeship, they're given a valuable skill that they'll have for the rest of their life. And they'll have the opportunity to make a great income and a great wage and provide for their family. Great benefit package and retire with dignity. That's what we've talked about on your show several times. And, you know, I appreciate the efforts of Mike Duffy and I appreciate the efforts of Kristen Boggs working hard on that legislation. I think they'll get some co-sponsors and they'll get that passed because both sides of the aisle see that as a good thing. And we're also working closely here with Columbus Mayor Andy Ginther and people on his staff, Barry Pickett, and Emerald Hernandez, and we're trying to do the same thing here in the city level for Columbus City Schools. There's almost 50,000 students in Columbus City Schools. Less than 500 are actively taking part in vocational training.
Wow, that's it?
That's it. So that's something Whoa. That we've got to change, and that's something that we've got to give those kids an opportunity. I mean, I feel so sad for those kids of Columbus and Central Ohio and Columbus City Schools specifically, when they go around the buses and you know, and they go drive around town and you see the cranes at Ohio State, the cranes downtown, and, you know, there's a new jail going to be built for the county. You know, kids from Columbus should have the opportunity to be doing that work, to reinvesting in their community.
50,000 kids, only 500 in the trades. Oh, boy.
Yes.
We got some work to do. Work to do. All right, Dorsey, hold that thought. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to run down some primary results. We'll talk about that prosecutor's race. I want to talk about worker safety, too. We had a trench collapse, which killed a construction worker here in northeastern Ohio a couple of days ago. I want to get into that as well. Also coming up later in the show, Russ Choma will be checking in from Mother Jones Magazine. He's been following the one and only Donald Trump. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few.
Part union newsletter, part industry trade magazine. The Labor Citizen provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter to the hardworking members of Ohio's labor trades. Building trades unions that subscribe to the Labor Citizen guarantee their members receive a monthly report crafted by their own union leaders, along with interesting feature stories and news relevant to Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to active and retired members from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the news and issues important to Ohio's labor trades anywhere. And the only way you can have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
With 650,000 active and retired members and a legacy of more than 116 years of accomplishment, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is a force to be reckoned with. We're fighting for economic prosperity through the creation and preservation of good jobs, fair trade, and respect for America's working families. The Machinists Union. We helped build this country, and we're protecting the people who live and work here.
A message from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. This segment of the show brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. 216-664-4309, ulagency.org. Dave Meganhart, Executive Director, will be checking in with him next Wednesday here on America's Workforce. Right now, let's go back to our live line. Dorsey Hager joining us from Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Well, had a pretty interesting primary, well, all over the state of Ohio. John Kasich, of course, walked away on the presidential side. You've got some results for Central Ohio you've been following. Can you talk about them?
Yeah, obviously we work closely with the Franklin County Democratic Party. We have a lot of friends there. Mayor Andy Ginther, Commissioner John O'Grady, we work closely with a lot of them, and legislation, stuff like that, labor issues. And, you know, we talked last year at length about the mayor's race, and it was a bipartisan race, so two Democrats ran against each other, and it got to be a pretty nasty race and a nasty feud. And Andy Ginther came out victorious, and Sheriff Zach Scott was the loser. So there was two factions not really factions. I guess there's a splinter within the Democratic Party, and that splinter was led by a lady named Melissa Barnhart, and her people were the sheriff, Zach Scott, who ran against Marion DeGinter, Franklin County Commissioner Paula Brooks, and then County Recorder T.J. Brown. So you had that small faction against everyone else in the party. So the party united, and even though Sheriff Scott, Commissioner Brooks, and Recorder Brown were all three Democratic incumbents, the Franklin County Party went out and sought three people to primary those three. They were Dallas Baldwin, Kevin Boyce, and Danny O'Connor. And just by volunteers, door knocking, lit drop, and the power of the sample ballot, Kevin Boyce defeated a three-term county commissioner, Paula Brooks. Dallas Baldwin defeated Zach Scott, who just the year before spent $2 million on name ID running for mayor, and Danny O'Connor, who is by far and away one of the youngest, brightest, most hardworking people I've ever met. He defeated incumbent recorder Terry Brown. So you had three Democratic incumbents swept out on primary night by the Franklin County Democratic Party and trying to resolve some of the issues within the party and some of those differences and removing that splinter. And that was just shocking. I was sitting there watching the returns at the Boathouse in Franklin County and seeing some of these returns. I mean, I'm not a big history guy, but I couldn't imagine three incumbents in any single county anywhere in the country ever losing their races during a primary. It was just amazing. And that goes to the strength of the Franklin County Democratic Party and the strength of that sample ballot and also the hard work that those three politicians did and also the people that they surrounded themselves with. You know, and it was nice to hear Danny O'Connor, and it was refreshing in his speech. He gave about a four-minute speech, and of course he thanked his mother and his father and his campaign staff. But then he spoke for about a minute about how critical and how crucial the building trades and some of the building trades unions and their members were in helping him get his name out there and helping him and his efforts to be victorious. And he's going to be a kid that we've invested in that's going to have a bright future. I say kid, he's 29 years old, but he's going to be somebody that we've invested in that's going to have a bright future that really does care about organized labor. And like he said in the speech, organized labor is the backbone of the Democratic Party, not only in Franklin County, but the state of Ohio. And we have to remember our friends in labor and work hard for them and for the people that go out and work in the trenches and work in the ditches and the buildings and building the highways, because those are the people that we need to look out for and we need to support and we need to represent. So very proud of those three. They worked their butts off. They did a great job. Andy Ginther, John O'Grady, Chairman Bill Anthony from the Franklin County Democratic Party, they really busted their butts. Jen House, President of Ohio Young Dems, worked on Danny Connor's campaign, another bright, smart young Democrat, and I thought that they did really well and they were really successful. But it's kind of an overwhelming night to see the success that they had.
That's pretty good. 29 years old. He is a kid, okay? I just want to reaffirm
yes.
that.
Yes, he is. Sometimes I say that and he kind of looks at me cross-eyed, so I had to check myself. But yes, he is a kid, and he's, you know, like I said, we've invested a lot in him. He's going to have a bright future, and be interesting to see where he goes from here. But I know that, you know, he should be victorious in November. He's got a tough fight against a very tough, well-funded Republican in Daphne Hawk, but I think Danny O'Connor will do well, and it'll be interesting to see some of the changes that he makes to that office and hopefully keeps it under Democratic control.
In Dorsey, when they're less than half your age, then they're a baby, all right?
Well, he's getting close to being a baby then.
Okay. The county prosecutor's race, I know this is a really, really powerful position. And any thoughts on that?
It's an extremely powerful position. A lot of people, and I've told friends of mine from around the state, whether they're in labor or not, and they've asked, they said, what's the deal with this Franklin County prosecutor race? I said, what you have to understand is the Franklin County prosecutor is the most important non-elected statewide office in Ohio. And people kind of scoff and look at me and they're like, ah, the Franklin County prosecutor, come on. And it's like, it's basically very simple. The state house is in the jurisdiction of the Franklin County prosecutor. So if there's any shenanigans, if there's any goofiness going on by any party, that Franklin County prosecutor can choose to investigate any of that stuff that's going on at the state house. You know, we had issues with Mary Taylor and some of her employees with some of the time wage, not working and doing stuff off hours and things like that. That stuff can be investigated by the Franklin County prosecutor if the attorney general decides not to get into that. Another thing that the Franklin County prosecutor can do that is big for labor is, you know, the biggest threat to the teachers' unions right now, you know, now that Friedrichs has been decided, is a lot of these charter schools, because they're taking a lot of money from the state and they're not using the money wisely and they're misspending a lot of that money. Well, if you have a charter school in your county, Cuyahoga County, or if there's a charter school in Montgomery County, and you know that there's theft and that there's problems there at that school, and your county prosecutor chooses not to investigate, or the attorney general chooses not to, you can take that to the Franklin County prosecutor, and he can investigate that, because that files under his jurisdiction as well, because all their financial filings are in Franklin County.
Mm-hmm.
All their filings are in Franklin County. Same thing with 1099 and undocumented workers. I know in the presidential election there's been a lot of talk about illegal immigrants,
right,
and I don't want to take away anything from that, but undocumented workers are just a threat to our cities and our communities and our municipalities as undocumented workers. And people might say, well, wait a minute, the guy next door to me that's a 1099, he's a citizen, he's not a threat. Well, yes, he is, because he's not paying his fair share in taxes, and he's not paying on his wages and benefits that he's making, and he's not supporting the schools that you're sending your children to, he's not supporting the roads, he's not supporting the city, he's not supporting the county, and he's not supporting the state. So that's another thing that Franklin County prosecutor can do. He can enforce wage theft, he can enforce any tax filings, he can do all that, 1099 misclassification of workers. So it's a very important position. And Ron O'Brien, who's a Republican that's held that position for 24 years now, he has his first opponent in 16 years, and that opponent is Zach Klein. Zach Klein's the president of city council right now. He's a Democrat, young guy, very intelligent, very smart. He worked for Richard Cordray in the attorney general's office. He's worked for Joe Biden, the vice president, when him and Barack Obama were first elected in 2008, and he's been on city council here since 2011. So it's going to be a very interesting race. Labor's going to be heavily involved. We'll have some people on the side of Ron O'Brien. We'll have some people on the side of Zach Klein. So it's going to be very interesting. And we talked about the Franklin County primary and some of those things, and that's what's going to be the interesting part about this race, is the two things that showed in the primary were the sample ballot and the ability of the Franklin County Democratic Party to get voters out. You know, Franklin County is a deep blue county with about 70% Democrats. And to give you an example of the sample ballot, some of the down ballot races on the Franklin County primary were central committee races, as there was, you know, that faction that was trying to take over the Franklin County Democratic Party. Well, Brian Clark, a gentleman here in Franklin County that ran in Bexley Ward 3, he was a write-in central committee candidate. Now, you know how hard it is for a write-in candidate to win a race, let alone in a central committee race.
Sure.
But he had volunteers out there handing out sample ballots for him, and he beat his opponent, who was on the ballot, 158-6.
Oh, my God. A write-in.
158-6.
Whoa.
So that's the power of the sample ballot.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And then you put in the presidential turnout there. Barack Obama won Franklin County in 2012 by 145,000 votes. So if people go out and vote, and people get that sample ballot, and people early vote, and people vote all the way down the ballot, I think Zach Klein's got a real opportunity here. So it's going to be a very interesting race, and it's one that I'm sure everyone around the state will start to follow as we get a little bit closer. And not to take away from the presidential race and the Senate race, Hillary and Ted, those are huge races that are going to drive out huge voter turnout. But this Franklin County prosecutor race is going to be one of the most important races, if not the most important race, and it's the number one priority identified by David Pepper and the Ohio State Democratic Party. It's the number one race to watch this fall. It's going to be very interesting.
Well, you know, and I told you this before, if there's anybody that you strongly endorse, you'd like to get them some more PR, especially up here, and because, you know, we broadcast on the web. We've got a presence down there as well. Feel free to, you know, fire them over to BMA or myself, and we'll get them on the show, okay?
We'll definitely do that. We'll definitely do that. And that's one of the things myself, Scott Hammond, our president down here, and a lot of our officers in the building trades are becoming more active, not only working with the community and working with contractors and end users and customers, but we're building these relationships with Republicans and Democrats that are pro-labor, pro-workforce development, and we're trying to get some things done, and we'll definitely do that. But we're making a lot of friends down here. We're helping things out, and I think that we're turning the tide down here in Columbus, Central Ohio. And we're, you know, I don't think Columbus will ever be a union town like a Cleveland or Toledo,
mm-hmm.
but one thing that we can be, and I heard this term the other day, is we can be a new union town. There's people that are coming here from all across the country, and that younger generation of professionals, the 25 to 30-year-olds, You know, they're not like the generation above them where it was all about me and what can I get. They look out for their brother. They look out for their sister. They look out for their coworker. They want everybody to make a good wage, a good benefit package, and they want everybody to have a good standard of living because they understand when there's a huge divide between the rich and the poor, it's the people in the middle class that pay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Income inequality is way, way, way out of whack. We talk about that on the show so much. Something's got to be done about it. And it's mainly because of the erosion of the middle class. Dorsey, we got a couple of minutes left. I just want to, you're probably aware of this. We had a construction accident here a couple of days ago, and it was a trench collapse. They were widening a part of the road, Heisley Road, over in Lake County. And the company, Aqua Ohio, has been cited. They're investigating, as I indicated, but they've been cited in 2003 for serious safety violations. In fact, they were fined $5,400 after they failed to provide ladders for employees working in trenches. Now, I don't know. I can only assume that there was probably not a ladder there, and this guy died. He was a 28-year-old worker. He was killed when the trench collapsed.
Yeah, I remember seeing this when it happened, and from my memory and recollection, it was a 6 to 8 foot trench. So without reading too much into it, I think you're probably right. I think the issue is that they didn't have a ladder in the trench. And they had two OSHA fines previously in 2013 for trenches where there was no accidents, but they didn't have egress and access out, where they were fined a total of $5,000. So I think that you're right. And this is sad. You never want to see an injury and obviously a fatality on a work site. I mean, this poor young man, 28 years old, Alex Marcotte from Chardon, I think was his name. He probably just showed up that day and wanted to do what everybody did, work hard, put in his 8 hours, and go home and see his wife and kids and family. And unfortunately, this terrible accident happened. And, you know, now they're going to investigate and see what was at fault and what was at issue. But, it's not good. And my thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family because it's terrible tragedy. Terrible. Yeah.
Worker safety is so darn important, and I just wanted to bring that up because this month we will commemorate Workers' Memorial Day. It doesn't get too much press in the mainstream media, but on any given day, and Dorsey, you know this, on any given day in America, 15 workers will not come home. That's the truth of it. That's the reality of it. So, thoughts and prayers go out to the family of that one worker. It's really sad, and hopefully we'll get some more information on that soon.
Dorsey, well, and I'm glad that you're giving worker safety its due, because you're right. It's underpublicized, and it needs to be talked about.
You got it. Okay, we're going to button it up there. You take care, my friend. Keep up the fight, and we'll talk to you in a month, all right?
All right. It sounds good. Thank you so much, Flash, for having me on. And like I said, opening day's Monday. Go Tribe. And we'll be talking next month and seeing how the first month of the season went. So,
I'm hoping for a good first month. We had a rough start last year. We don't want to do that again.
Right. Nope, that's right. Want to come out of the gate firing on all cylinders. So
there you go.
Have a good weekend, Flash.
You take care. All right, Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Construction Trades, columbusconstructiontrades.org. Quick break.